ago. Bill Henry.
World famous Bill Henry Show. Every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And final hour of the show here as we launch into a week following the Thanksgiving weekend. I'm not doing any real recap on Thanksgiving. I'm assuming that people, you know, ate a lot of food. I didn't.
That diet of yours is unhealthy. Now you're just turning anorexic.
No, I'm not anorexic, but I am not going. I swore a blood oath. I will never, ever be that weight again.
You're not going to be that weight. Why don't you have a nice, healthy Thanksgiving dinner with all the trimmings?
Yeah, I should have had it with the trimmings.
Well, I didn't have it with the trimmings, okay? As I was saying to everybody here off the air, the only thing I had for Thanksgiving that was out of the ordinary is because I hit my target weight, which was 210 pounds on Halloween weekend, and I went to Washington, D.C. on, roughly around Halloween, and it was in Washington, D.C. that I officially broke my diet. I had the one thing that I'd been craving, and it's probably going to sound really sick, but it was sugar. It was candy, and I ate cookies, and I ate chocolate bars, and I ate caramel corn, After I did that, I said, oh, wow, I'd really like some Chinese food. So I had some Chinese food. And then I had room service. I had a steak. So, yeah, you know, by the time I got home, I would say, and then I went back on the diet. I think I was up around 2 weeks ago. I was around 217. So I'd put it back on. But then this week, I got back on the scale, and I was at 212. And so that was cool. However, 210 being the target, and with an ultimate goal of now getting down to 200,
see, that's what I think is I think you're mentally diseased.
Yeah, you're trying to lose too much weight. You're going to waste away.
Oh, would you get out of here, waste away? I used to be 195, 190, 185 pounds at one time in my life. 200 pounds ain't going to kill me. I remember when I was 200 pounds, I thought I was like, you know, overweight. So, it's the only thing about losing weight when you're at this particular age, especially when you lose weight after you've had a lot of weight, is you stretched your freaking gut out, man. So I got to do something like crunches or something, or weights or something to kind of tone the old body up. But anyway, so that's what I had over the Thanksgiving holidays. I had more chocolate. I mean, I was just down with chocolate. That's
all you wanted.
That's all I wanted. I had Hershey bars and I had Reese's cups. And man, I was loving it, you know. So why did I bring this up? Oh, I don't know. But anyway, I want to show you something. This has absolutely nothing to what I was just talking about. Casey Anthony detectives overlooked Google search. And what Google search did they overlook? The Florida Sheriff's Office that investigated the disappearance of Casey Anthony's 2-year-old daughter overlooked evidence that someone in their home did a Google search for foolproof suffocation methods on the day the girl was last seen alive? Come on!
Well, I mean, you know, you can't just...
I agree with you. Don't want to jump to conclusions, you know.
What do you mean jump to conclusions?
What are you talking about? On a day the kid was gone.
You don't know. Her mother was a nurse.
Yeah, her mother was a nurse and what?
Her mother was a nurse and probably looked up different medical terms.
Yeah, there's probably a medical reason.
What medical reason? Let me ask you a question. What medical reason does a mother have, does a nurse have for looking up, what was it again?
It's a foolproof suffocation.
What medical reason does a nurse have for foolproof suffocation?
You have a lot of times, because I know my aunt was a nurse, all right? And a lot of times you have people that are unruly.
People that are unruly.
Yes.
So let's foolproof.
Well, you see, he does this. He laughs.
No, I know. I'm very familiar with it.
He laughs when we've got him. You always laugh, Phil, when you're backed into a corner.
Margaret, I'm not backed into a corner. I'm not backed into... You can get your aunt on the phone if you want.
I don't know if she's still awake or not. I'll call her up. Hey, don't wake up my aunt, man. I'll call her up. Here, let me... Well, she might not want to talk to you. Why? Because you're a dumbass. You're the dumbass.
Get her on the phone, will you, if you want to call her, and if not, don't. We'll get to the bottom of this. Don't worry about it. Hey, Mavis?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, please.
This is Mr. Henry, Mavis. How are you?
Yeah, I'm holding for Phil Henry.
This is Phil Henry.
Yeah, all right, Phil.
Okay, I just had a question for you.
All right.
Did you ever, when you were a nurse, look up foolproof ways to suffocate people?
Did I ever, as a nurse, look up a foolproof way to suffocate someone?
Yeah.
I would never, ever tell you if I did. That's for sure. That's for GD sure. Did I ever want to? Of course. That goes with the territory. Did I ever, you asking me a confidence now? I'm on the radio. It's not confidential, is it?
No, it's not confidential. I'm asking you.
Well, now slow down, Phil, because you started to sound nervous. You and I, I don't like that talking to me. I'm an elderly African-American woman. When someone starts in with the na-na, I think they're making fun of me. And then I get pissed.
And all right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
You did it again. You were having to add it up either.
By the way, this is Robert. I just want to ask you a question. Did you ever look up a foolproof way to suffocate someone?
I just was answering a man's question. You let me answer the question?
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about Phil going mama.
I want to know if the man saying mama is a way of doing some anti-mama joke on me.
You know I would never do that, Mavis.
All right, I'm just trying to double-check on it. You know, I want to check my runners on first and third, you know? You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Okay, I understand.
Well, either you do or you don't.
Mavis, this is Margaret. I understand. The question is, because Casey Anthony, do you know Casey Anthony?
I know of her. I don't know her.
Well, you know she's the one that was accused of killing her daughter.
Yes, she was accused. She is guilty of sin. And she's out there now with her butt up in the breeze going to the dirty T-shirt contest and everything.
Well, no, it's a wet T-shirt contest.
What's the one?
They're called wet T-shirt contests.
So what? She was in a wet T-shirt?
No, the contest is called a wet T-shirt.
Well, all right. I don't know. I can tell you I'm a woman. I've been to church. I've lived a life that I would like to believe in more. And I don't know anything about a wet T-shirt, a filthy T-shirt, a filthy pants. She being a filthy, dirty streak underwear contest for all I care. Because that's what I think a woman like that would do, to kill a little baby like that.
All right, so you're agreed with the rest of us. She killed her daughter.
I'll tell you now, I looked into the face of that woman, that white devil.
No, you got to watch that out on it, man. A lot of white people don't like that.
I don't give a sweet dick. Ask me if I give a damn. Ask me if I give a damn.
You got to talk about white devil, though.
Ask me if I give a damn. I'm talking about a woman right now killing two innocent little baby girls.
All right, okay. I accept your anger and your characterization, maybe. So just the question is, when you were a nurse, did you ever have to look up...
We didn't have no Google in those days. Are you people out of your minds? I've been trying to... I don't have no Google. What the hell I look it up in? I want to look it up in Encyclopedia Britannica. Look up foolproof suffocation. Encyclopedia... Encyclopedia... Pedia. Or what do they call that?
Darling, Wikipedia.
They didn't have no Wikipedia back when I was a nurse, you dumbass. I'm talking about, when I was a nurse, you had to look something up. You look it up on a physician desk reference.
Did it have it in there?
Oh, baby. Woo! Did it have a foolproof suffocation in a physician desk reference? Now I heard it all. I should have strangled you in the cradle. As my sister lay there, sweat on her face, and said, one more. I just had another baby boy. All I wanted was a daughter, and I got my fifth baby boy. And I said, you know what, if you want, I'll go ahead and put him out now. I'll put him away now. She said, nah, let him live.
Man! Are you kidding me?
Man, that's the biggest load of bullcrap I ever heard in my life.
Bullcrap? If your father was still alive, I'd ask him straight up and say, Jevis, did you hear me say to your wife, Candace, my sister, you want me to put the kid, you want me to ice it or what? And he just said, damn if you didn't.
You said, do you want me to ice it?
I was kidding, but I did say it.
All right, okay, you kidding? Thought you were serious.
Can we get back to what we're talking about? So I'm going to, that's a big negative.
What is, Robert?
No, did you ever need to know about foolproof suffocation? The answer's no.
I never need to suffocate who? There are a couple of nurses I want to suffocate. There are some of the doctors I want to suffocate. Some of the family members I want to suffocate. One or two patients I want to suffocate. And nowadays, God help me, I wanted to suffocate myself. But I never had to look that stuff up. I knew exactly what about the day come I'm going to suffocate somebody. I know what the hell I'm doing. Now, there was a time about three...
All right. Thank you very much, Mavis.
But you don't want to whoop my ass up.
So there you go.
Well, what does that prove?
Well, there's no nurse. She's a nurse, and she didn't have to look up foolproof suffocation. Here's the story. The Florida sheriff, we told you, the Orange County Sheriff's Captain Angelo Nevis said Sunday that the officer's computer investigator missed the June 16, 2008 search. The agency's admission was first reported by Orlando television station WKMG. It's not known who performed the search. The station reported it was done on a browser primarily used by the two-year-old's mother, Casey Anthony, who was acquitted of the girl's murder in 2011. Anthony's attorneys argued during trial that Casey Anthony helped her father, George Anthony, cover up the girl's drowning in the family pool. WKMG reports that sheriff's investigators pulled 17 vague entries only from the computer's Internet Explorer browser, not the Mozilla Firefox browser commonly used by Casey Anthony. More than 1,200 Firefox entries, including the suffocation search, were overlooked. You know, it really, sometimes it amazes me when you talk about experts and you talk about people that know their stuff. And I've been around a lot of them. And I got to tell you, 50% of the time I watch them doing their thing. And I always say to one of them, don't you want to do this too? And oh, yeah. And they'll, you know, just because a guy's an expert or is considered to be an expert in his field doesn't mean the guy's an expert in his field. And here's a guy. Looked up Internet Explorer. Oh, yeah, found all this stuff. Internet Explorer. It's grand. Well, there's another browser, Firefox, which, by the way, I dare say a lot of people use. I do. I wouldn't use Internet Explorer to find out what time it is. That's just me. So here's a whole other browser that she uses, and they find foolproof suffocation. What if they found something like how to kill a two-year-old female with duct tape across the mouth?
Yeah.
What if they found that?
But still, it's, you know, her word against yours.
Her word against mine.
What does that prove?
Margaret, listen to what I just said. What if they found in the search engine...
Yes.
How to murder a two-year-old female using duct tape across the mouth in Orlando, Florida?
Well, when are they going to see something like that?
I'm just asking, would that be enough for you? Would that be enough for you?
Would that be enough to prove that she's guilty? No. No, it would not. Not even close.
Oh, okay. So she's looking that up for what?
She could be doing a lot of stuff. She could be writing a script for a screenplay, or she could be writing a book for a screenplay, or I mean, she could be writing a script for a book, or she could be practicing writing a screenplay.
Uh-huh. Or she's writing a screenplay for a book that's going to be a script?
Yeah.
You're mocking him, Phil.
Well, you know, you guys, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. All right, we'll be right back. Let's see. Dan just sent me something here. Oh, we have to break. Oh, this is the 11th hour. This is from last week. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth,
I just looked up the beer thing.
Our bitch.
Oh, look at this.
The Phil Six Hendry pack. Show.
That's from last week.
I don't care. It's interesting.
Let's get back to, because this story is really important. We're talking about this Casey Anthony and the fact that the Orange County Sheriff in Orlando, Florida, is now admitting, well, you know, we overlooked some searches on the computer, and one of the searches that we missed was a search for foolproof way to suffocate somebody. And as I was saying to Margaret, you know, and I'm a, you know, Margaret, I'm not trying to make an ass out of you.
Well, no, not much.
Well, but I just said... What is it going to take for some of these people? I know, you know, you can't possibly think she's innocent.
I think there was a rush to judgment is all. And I think Jose Bayarina, I forget his name.
Baez. Jose Baez, ain't that it?
No, it's not Baez, is it?
Yeah, it's Jose B-A-E-Z. I don't know what the French is.
Oh, the French is Baez.
Okay, you know, I'm tired of the French. Can we just do the Spanish...
You're tired of the French.
Can we do the Spanish?
Well, the Spanish would be Buzz or Buzz. I think it's Buzz. That would be his first name, though.
His first name is Buzz?
That's the... You Anglify it and you get Buzz Baez. You know what? I don't have to be laughed at.
Oh, Margaret, come on.
No, I won't be laughed at.
Buzz Baez. Anyway, so here's the thing. The Orange County Sheriff, they find the search, and it says, you don't want to come back, Margaret?
I'm in the toilet unless you get your kicks looking at women going number two.
Anyway, here is a search that they overlooked that said a foolproof way to suffocate somebody. Now, I don't know what that proves, folks. I don't know. It is assumed, and I think it's a fairly decent assumption, that if you are investigating or uncovering searches in a computer that is used by a suspect, that what that person is searching for may be relevant. It's not proof of having committed a murder. Who knows? Maybe she did it for laughs. It's hard to say.
What do you mean for laughs?
Well, I know her daughter turned up missing, so it's very, very difficult to say, oh, gee, what a coincidence. I was searching for a foolproof way to suffocate people because I was going to do a joke on my boyfriend, and it turns out that my daughter's missing. Gee, what an unfortunate coincidence. I don't think so. But it can't possibly be used as proof. It is, however, circumstantial evidence of some, thinking on her part. So what happened was the agency's admission was first reported by a local TV station. They reported the sheriff's investigators pulled 17 vague entries only from the computer's Internet Explorer, but not from Mozilla Firefox, which is what Casey Anthony used. 1,200 Firefox entries, including the suffocation search, were overlooked. Whoever conducted the Google search looked for the term foolproof suffocation, misspelling it S-U-F-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N.
What a dumbass!
Well, I mean, it's probably not that big of a misspelling, but... And then clicked on an article about suicide that discussed taking poison and putting a bag over one's head. The browser then recorded activity on the social networking site MySpace, which was used by Casey Anthony, but not her father. A computer expert for Anthony's defense team found the search before the trial. Her lead attorney, Jose Baez, first mentioned the search in his book about the case, but suggested it was George Anthony who conducted the search after Kaylee drowned because he wanted to kill himself. Not knowing about the computer search, prosecutors had argued Kaylee was poisoned with chloroform and then suffocated by duct tape placed over her mouth and nose. The girl's body was found 6 months after she disappeared in a field near the family home and was too decomposed for the exact cause of death to be determined. Many jurors apparently went into hiding and amid public outrage over the verdict and refused to comment, but two have said prosecutors couldn't conclusively prove how Kaylee died. You know, as I pointed out on a tweet that I did one day.
Yeah.
10% of all homicide, all murder cases have DNA evidence introduced in the trial. 10%. That means 90% of all murder cases don't have any DNA evidence. 90%. Meaning they don't have any evidence of the perpetrator. But you still have to find out who committed the murder, don't you? Or do you just give up? Do you just give up? Now, in the months and the over a year now since this trial, I admit that I've often thought, boy, those prosecutors were kind of, I think they took a lot for granted. I think they thought it was a slam dunk, you know?
Yeah, that's what I thought, man, the way they were talking about it. Yeah, she's, they acted like everything they said was gold, man.
Yeah, they acted like everything that dropped out of their butts was a gold nugget, you know?
Yeah, that's nice, bud. God.
What?
So I think they did think it was a slam dunk. I think they talked to the jury as if the jury was kind of, empathetic to where they were going, and yeah, you guys know what we mean. She's beginning to talk. We've got to kill her now, or else Mom will know the stuff that this bull crap. So what happened was, no, the jury didn't go, I don't think they were bright enough, to be honest with you, and I do believe it was a CSI jury, a bunch of people waiting for the smoking gun, a bunch of people waiting for the blood DNA, the spit DNA, the semen DNA, something. You know,
well, ain't gonna be no semen DNA.
It's not DMA, it's DNA.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I said DMA.
Ain't it DMA?
It ain't DMA. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Nonetheless, This is this Casey Anthony trial, man. They are saying the Orange County detectives blew it. They blew it. We'll be right back. Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So anyway, there's the Casey Anthony story, and, you know, what are you going to do? It's a whack thing. It's wild. It's wiggy. And I remember when I was following the trial like the rest of you guys, and I thought, well, now, what the hell? How could they find... I was the same as everybody. How could they find her innocent? And I try to be a juror, and when I... put myself in their shoes. I don't care how smart you are. Your intelligence is only going to help you so much. You may be a brain surgeon, man. You may be a rocket scientist, but you can only, by law, you can only consider the evidence before you and the evidence that has been admitted at trial, and you may not consider anything that has not been admitted. And a lot of us, you know, we go on the whole... oh, my God, you know, I saw this and that. Well, we saw a lot of stuff the jury didn't see. But having said all of that, there's like this heavy circumstantial thing that was going on with that Casey Anthony case. Oh, well, you know, she was out dancing, and the baby wasn't seen, and she was lying to her mother. And all of that stuff, I could even understand that. You know, well, that's not good enough. If I was on the jury and they said that's not good enough, all right, I guess... But, man, how do you get past the fact that the inside of her car smelled like a dead body had been in there?
Yeah, well, a lot of times if I get in Bud's car, what? I swear to God.
You trying to be funny?
No, I get into Bud's car, smell like a dead body.
That's the shit. You don't know what a dead body or what a dead body sounds like.
I'm not saying dead body don't sound like anything.
What do you mean a dead body sounds like?
I mean smells like.
Well, okay, but how come your car stink?
Because it just stinks. Because there is first of all, an In-N-Out burger that I did take out. I did just now take it out.
Hey, Bud, what, you know, why don't you clean your car up? Forget about whether it smells like a dead body. What is it with you, huh?
I cleaned it up.
You got a freaking burger in there for, what, 6 months? Good God.
But that ain't the thing to smell. The thing that smelled is you had a carton of milk. God.
Yeah, I was going to drink it.
How old was the carton of milk?
About 3 months.
You're not going to drink a 3-month-old carton of milk, man. It isn't going to happen. Okay?
I know, but I was at the time that I could have, I would have done it.
That's what made it stink. And I swear, milk, I smell like a dead man. Like a man died, laying, oh, Lord.
Yeah, get out of here, man. You're sounding like you're fishing for catfish and everything.
Why don't you shut up? Hey! Come on now.
Dice does that. Does Mr. Zippity Doodah.
Man, I'm going to kick your... Hey,
watch it, will you? For crying out loud.
Good guy told you, though.
I don't give a damn what you told me, man. Your car stinks.
Clean your freaking car up, man, okay? Forget about Casey Anthony. Got a car that smells. But, I mean, that's my point. If you got a car, Zippity Doodah.
I'm getting tired of that, man.
Well, you're all like, Lord, Lord.
Yeah, so what?
All right. So what, Bud? You know, you with the race baiting, you know, one of these days, I hope he beats your ass, like, almost into a hospital bed. That's what I really hope, because that's going to be the only thing that'll teach you.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you really? You didn't do anything? You keep it up, man. He's going to kick your ass right into a hospital, and I won't stop him. So, Casey Anthony, if there was one thing that they kept presenting at that trial over and over and over again, forget about the circumstantial. Everything's circumstantial. I understand that. Well, you know, she had a shovel, so she had a shovel. Maybe she wanted to go out and dig ditches for kicks. Maybe it was the way she relaxed. Who knows? And it just so happens, okay. So she lied. So she said the nanny had the baby. So what? That doesn't prove she killed a baby. We need the... They had the smell of a dead body in that car. Now, come on. You got a nurse, the mother reacting to it. The father smells it. The cop smells it. She's got to use Febreze. What the hell is that? Does that not lead you? Isn't that physical evidence?
That is not physical. They don't have any test that can quantify or measure, all right? Please listen to me, Phil, because as a reporter, I've been around, let me tell you something, I've been around dead bodies as a reporter. It's not pleasant. And I covered a story here in Santa Monica not too long ago, it's about 6 months ago, of a man whose wife had killed him. She stuck him in the trunk of her car, and because she was so psychopathic and so sociopathic, just the stench of death didn't bother her. And it was only when she was attempting, I think, to go through that border station near Camp Pendleton that the border officers there smelled what they thought was fertilizer. So they figured she was a farm worker and she was a very well-dressed woman. And so they wanted her to open the trunk so they could see what kind of fertilizer it was. It stunk like something that dropped out of a cow's ass.
And it was a dead body.
No, it was fertilizer. So what...
Well, hold on for a minute. Where'd the dead body go?
Well, she buried that. What are you asking me?
What are you talking about when you say dead body?
I smelled the body when they dug it up.
Well, what's this got to do with her going through a border station with fertilizer?
She was going to try to cover up the stink of the body with the fertilizer that she bought at Home Depot. God!
Margaret, you guys, all of you, gotta find a better way of telling the story. I got no idea what it is you're talking about, okay? I'm just gonna say this for the record, and then I'm done.
Well, what's the confusion?
She drove through the border station, and it stunk to high heaven, and there wasn't a body in the trunk. It was fertilizer that she was taking to cover up the body that she'd buried in her backyard.
Yes.
So how did she get arrested?
Oh, she got arrested by San Diego Sheriff. She wasn't arrested by the Border Patrol. Is that what you thought?
Well, I'm wondering why you brought this up.
Because the car stunk like a dead body.
Well, in any event, to me, that was a piece of actual physical... Just because it's a smell, isn't that physical? Wouldn't you call that physical? I would. I know you can't necessarily take a reading. I think they did, but nonetheless, this was something real. This is something that was shared by third parties, everybody, from Mrs. Anthony to, you know, the grandmother, to one of the cops, at least, to Mr. Anthony, to the junkyard guy, or the tow yard guy. He smelled it. I mean, everybody said the car stinks like a decom. And folks, people know what decom, people who've been around dead bodies know what they smell like. Cops, nurses, in the case of Cindy Anthony, you know, rescue workers, search and rescue people. I mean, they know what a decomposing human body smells like, and they said this car's had a dead body in it. Well, you know, see, that's the part that pissed me off about those people. Speaking of decomposing bodies...
Segway.
Right. Speaking of decomposing bodies... Bud Dickman will have our... I'm kidding. Speaking of decomposing bodies, a woman was arrested in Florida after her husband's decomposing body was found. Here's another husband that's been decomposing. How many decomposing husbands does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know how many.
I couldn't tell you either. Must be millions.
So that's the joke.
You answered it properly.
Yeah! That's pretty good joke.
So I don't know how many is the joke?
Yeah. How many I just made it up, Margaret. Who knows? Anyway, detectives in Florida are trying... Well, it's better than... Anyway, detectives in Florida are trying to unravel the mystery of how a woman's husband died after his body was found decomposing inside their home.
Maybe he decomposed to death.
Yeah.
Maybe he decomposed to death, huh? So he started decomposing before he died. James Dennis Peters, well, I can understand that, age 62... who's had a history of domestic violence arrest with his 56-year-old wife, Cherie Hines Peters, was found lying on the ground covered in a sheet, according to, quote, Fox 13. Relatives and neighbors in Haines City became suspicious after asking Cherie where her husband was the past 3 weeks. She claimed he was hunting at a hospital or doing yard work. Anyway, two of James's daughters and a sister-in-law approached the house on Friday and discovered his body after questioning Sherry, who drove away and said she had to get gas. Yeah, I'll bet she did. She had to get a full tank of gas.
Yeah, and get out of the state.
Polk County police later arrested Sherry at a Dundee motel room and charged her with manslaughter, possession of cocaine, and tampering with evidence. Sherry told police that she had shot James in a struggle over a gun, but after authorities couldn't find the weapon in her home, she said she sold the gun to buy drugs. So she shot this guy and just left him moldering there in the house.
I know all these people have mummified, man. How come that can't happen to somebody like that?
Well, you know, this whole thing about bodies mummifying, there was a very famous story here in Southern California, and it was a couple of years old now, of a very well-known actress, very beautiful actress from the 50s, who was as well a Playboy playmate, I think, at one time. And she died in her home in one of the canyons, Laurel Canyon, Coldwater Canyon, I forget which one. It was discovered that she had passed on, or somehow it was discovered that there was something amiss, when one of her neighbors, you know, just a very kind person, you know how people are, we go about our days, man, we don't notice each other, but this lady, she saw the mail had piled up, she noticed that there was, you know, something wrong, so she got entry into the house, and they discovered this woman mummified, and what I mean by that, she wasn't wrapped in bandages, but the body had not decomposed to the extent that one would think that it should, you know.
Well, how long had she been dead?
Several months, like 3 or 4 months.
And there was no decomposition.
Well, there was, and this is kind of, I guess, maybe making some people queasy, but what the hell, it's after midnight, and it's kind of interesting because it's all about murder and scary stuff. Anyway, what happens is, if the temperature is right, if the air is dry enough, if just the right conditions exist, and in California, I think this was in the summertime, in California, the air does get very dry, the body will not decompose. It will just sort of dry out. And you'll be laying there just all, you know, sucked up or something, man.
Yeah, probably look like that one dead corpse in the Life Force movie. Yeah, you ever see that vampire movie?
What vampire movie?
Yeah, the one about, yeah, they came from Venus or something. No, I know, they was from the tail of Hale-Bopp.
They were from the tail of Hale-Bopp? What are you talking about?
There were vampires living in the tail of Hale-Bopp. And anyway, they come down to Earth. They are in the tail of Hale-Bopp. Then they come down to Earth.
Yeah, and they sucked out, and they sucked it out.
What did they suck out? Life force? What are you guys talking about?
They're talking about like the life force, I guess.
Oh, I saw that asinine film. Was that Steve Railsback? What happened to Steven Railsback? My God, he was brilliant. He was brilliant in Helter Skelter. He played Manson.
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic in that. Was he in that?
I don't know. There's one guy that got sucked up by the vampire.
What kind of vampires are these, man? They're living in the tail of Hale-Bopp. What is this?
It was a movie, man. It called Life Force. And anyway, the vampire living in the tail of Hale-Bopp, they come down to Earth, suck out all the precious bodily juices, you know, and, yeah.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know. No, suck out all the precious. They suck the blood?
Well, yeah.
And these are vampires?
Yeah, they're like spades. They're like a hill. Like, I don't know. They're like vampires that live on a comet.
They're vampires that live on a comet. Boy, I'll tell you, man. You know, I got to ask myself, does Hollywood really believe that we're not going to sit and laugh ourselves sick? I mean, do you guys think this is scary? What the hell are you talking about? What do we come out with a flick like that? Steve Railsback, God bless him. He was fantastic as Manson. What happened to Steve Railsback?
That's what I was just asking you.
I think he's a great actor. Great actor. And if he only had that one role, man, that was the role for him. You should have just kept on playing psychos, Steve. Maybe he was one of those, you know, and I don't blame him. If it's an actor, said, no, I don't want to play any more psychos. I want to play a good guy. I want to play a vampire that lives in the tail of Hale-Bopp, you know.
What's the difference between that and Charles Manson?
Yeah, that'd be my point.
Yeah, you're right. What's the difference? All right.
Are you kidding? Charles Manson and a vampire that lives in the tail of Hale-Bopp. I think the edge goes to the vampire in the Hale-Bopp.
Not necessarily. If you take a look at the statistics...
You get out of here with this. I got to take a break. We'll be right back if you take a look at the statistics. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Vampire.
The Phil Hendry Show.
That movie, man, that thing was great, man.
We'll be right back.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So you are asking me, Bud, about Steve Railsback's fantastic. Peter Lorre is another guy. Now, this is from my generation. Not my generation. It's from, I remember Peter Lorre from movies on TV. I never saw him in a movie theater.
Well, what about, did you see him in the Voyage to the Bottom of this? What was the film with Walter Pidgeon? Oh, God, I loved it so.
I don't know.
The one, the Voyage to...
Yeah, I know that. Voyage 20,000, the Voyage Down to the Sea.
Yeah.
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Yes. And Peter Lorre played the... He played something. He played... he played a good guy.
Right, I know. But it was like I was saying to Dan. Peter Lorre never played a good guy until later in his career. He always played these... He always played either an evil guy or a guy that was up to no good, who was kind of a good guy, but he was up to no good, like the guy he played in Casablanca. He meets his end early in the movie. Rick, you know, he's always talking about, Rick, you know, Rick, would you please stash this for me? All that stuff. And he winds up getting shot. Or he played the bad guy in the Maltese Falcon. He always played kind of a slimy guy. And Dan was telling me the movie you got to see Peter Lorre in was the one that made him a hit, which made the one that made him a big star, which was, or at least the one that got him to the United States, was a movie called M. And it's subtitled, the one that I saw. But man, Peter Lorre is like, he knocks it out of the park. He plays this sick, twisted child murderer who is put on trial by the thugs and the thieves and the reprobates of the Prague under, I think it's Berlin or Prague, I forget where.
Well, where was it made?
M? I think it was made in Germany, so it's Berlin. And he murders a kid, and he gets away with it, but the thieves and murderers, the scum of the Berlin underworld, they put him on trial themselves, because, you know, just as we know from real life in prisons, the child molester or the child killer is the lowest thing there is on the prisoner, you know, pecking order there. Well, in this film, they illustrated that by way of this. So anyway, Peter Lorre's, that made him a star in Europe, and he came over to the States and started doing his stuff. But if you ever want to see him in a flick, man, you got to see this Beast with Five Fingers. You ever see that?
No, what's that?
This movie is about as nuts as it is, as can be. It's a movie...
Is that the one where the guy's hand goes crawling up a guy's shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. In the flick, some guy is a famous piano player. He dies, and his hand is crawling around the house, you know?
What?
That's, I'm telling you. And anyway, and Peter Lorre is a riot in this thing because he's always talking about, I gotta kill the hand, you know? He takes the hand, he throws it into the fire. The hand crawls out of the fire and crawls up Peter Lorre's up his shirt and tries to choke him.
Man, what is this, a comedy?
Well, when I think back on it now, yeah. But it's the goofiest flick you ever saw in your life, called The Beast with Five Fingers, and it's about it's a psychological drama because it's all in the head. Peter Lorre is nuts. He's nuts. And I think he might have been the actual murderer or something, but he imagines this hand that was the piano-playing hand and very powerful right hand of this guy that died, coming back to life and crawling around the house and hiding. You know, at one point, the hand's hiding under a sofa.
What? Did he get it out of there with a fireplace poker or something?
Yeah.
What?
Why don't they get a fireplace poker and push it out from under there?
You're not talking logically here, man. I mean, if there was a hand under the sofa, I guess I might, but we're talking about a guy that's crackers, okay? So anyway, you got to check that out, called The Beast with Five Fingers. With Peter Lorre. All right. One other thing. I wanted to just mention the house. Did I tell you the house?
Well, you were going to talk about this.
When we were talking about salesmen, I was telling Dan about this. I did a gig once in Orlando, Florida. And this will really just is a total non sequitur from Peter Lorre and a hand crawling around a house. Although, you know, it could have been the hand. The hand might have been crawling around the talking house in Longwood, Florida, which is where I was once many years ago. Part of a team of disc jockeys, and we were assigned different microphones that were connected to different appliances and different features of this brand new home. It was called the Talking House, and they had hundreds, maybe even thousands of people visit this house over the course of the weekend. and each of us was assigned to a different aspect of the house. We had a two-way television in front of us so we could see people who were coming to the open house approaching whatever appliance it was that our microphone was connected to. For instance, my mic was connected to the garbage disposal. And so when I saw people walking up to the garbage disposal, I'd talk into the mic and say, "Hi, I'm the Kevlo Garbage Disposal 1260. And they'd laugh.
"Oh, you're kidding. That's cute."
Yeah. And they'd laugh, and I'd say, "Well, do you want to know anything about me?" And they'd go, "Yeah, you know, how old are you?" They'd try to be funny. And then they'd say, "Well, you know, what's the warranty?" "Well, my warranty comes da-da-da-da-da." I'm telling you, we had just hundreds, if not thousands, of people that came to the...
Did you get paid good?
No.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, join us online at philhendryshow.com with a live, with a backstage pass. Watch live streaming video of our show. That's right. The Phil Hendry Show live streaming video each and every night from 10 P on the West Coast to 1A. And, of course, you can watch our video archives on demand on your iPhone or your iPad, as well as your desktop, your Droid, and all that. Until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.